The Fix is in. The Sports Fix.
Sports Fix listeners don't wait all day or all week to get in on the fun. The party doesn't stop when we go off the air all week long. The Sports Fix social media sites are your one-stop shop for all things Cleveland sports. Jump over to Facebook.com/TheSportsFix, Facebook.com/TheSportsFix, and become a fan today because we love fans and they create some of the best sports talk in town, Daddy. You'll enjoy talking to your fellow Cleveland sports fans on the Sports Fix fan page. And if Twitter's your thing, well, you know how we do it. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. It's that simple.
Twitter.com/TheSportsFixCLE, baby.
Chat live with the crew during all your favorite Cleveland sports events, tickets and contests and trivia and so much more. Get with us today, The Sports Fix on social media, Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. Join The Sports Fix on Facebook and Twitter today. Business owners and professionals, do you want to take your business, your product, your team, your event to the next level? You want to advertise right here with the Sports Fix. Our listeners are among the most loyal listeners on the dial, terrestrial or internet, and our audience is one of the greatest and most receptive audiences in all of radio. The Sports Fix universe is not only listeners of the radio show, but tens of thousands of fans on Facebook and Twitter. Our social media universe expands by the day, all in the prime demographics to help drive your business directly into the winner's circle. Don't take my word for it. The Sports Fix comes with reference upon reference that have done business with us in the past and had some fun along the way. For more information on how we can help you knock your business, event, team, product, or promotion out of the park, email me, Jerry Myers, thesportsfix@AOL.com. That's thesportsfix@AOL.com. And let me help you swing for the fences and hit it out of the park. Advertise your product right here on the Sports Fix.
Hey Cleveland, this is Anderson Varejão of the Cleveland Cavaliers. You are listening to the Sports Fix.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Harry Buffalo. The Sports Fix will be live at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted for each and every Cleveland Browns game. So come on out and join in the fun. Go Browns!
Live in Ohio, it's time to get your fix. The Sports Fix.
You got that right. We are live, and it is time to get your fix, Daddy. I am pumped up. We have got a jam-packed Thursday for you today. Indians and Browns getting at it tonight. Can't wait. Not only can't wait for tonight to watch it, can't wait to talk about it here with you in just a few minutes. Hey, we're kicking off the show hot. We've rearranged things today. Sports writer extraordinaire Jonathan Knight's going to join us in just a few minutes right off the bat. We're going to talk a little Indians with him, preview the Browns, talk all kinds, always a great time when the sports writer extraordinaire Jonathan Knight joins us in the house in just a few minutes. Later on this hour, fantasy football guru BJ Riddell with us. We go through, it's draft time, baby. I know our draft is this coming weekend. As a matter of fact, we've got a couple of open spots. I'll tell you about that in a minute in our fantasy league. BJ Riddell tells you how you can win your fantasy league with your draft. How it starts with the draft, his draft strategy. We talk about kicking things off and the last preseason look at fantasy football with my man BJ Riddell, author of Fantasy Football for Winners, here later on this hour. We're going to look at the Tribe in the first two games against the Braves. And, you know, well, I'll talk more about that in just a little bit. But, you know, while you've got struggles with the offense and while you've got things that, you know, I want to talk about and I'm concerned about, you also have to appreciate the quality of baseball that's been played in the first two games of this series. We're going to talk about that. We'll preview the Browns game, final preseason game, and I'll tell you what, I'm not happy. I've been on board with this front office and this regime for the longest time here, especially when other people have wavered on things. But you know, the decision not to play Brandon Whedon, at least for a series or two tonight, really bothers me, and I'm going to talk about that in just a little bit. So much to do. We have got a huge show. Plus, as you may have already gotten a sneak preview, if you're a member of some of our social media networks, we've got tickets next Friday when those Indians do come back to town and when they're making that stretch here trying to hopefully make September one to remember. September 6th, next Friday, Dollar Dog Night, Fireworks Night. The Mets are in the house, and I'll tell you what, so will you, because we've got a pair of tickets to that game, and in just a little bit, I'll tell you how you could win that, too. I'm going to make you work for this one. I've got a unique contest set up here, and I'm going to be very interested to see what you guys do. So let's do what we do. Welcome into the Sports Fix, Daddy. I am your host, the host with the most, I hope, the Big Daddy of Destruction. J-Rock Jerry Myers here with you, and we are rocking hot and heavy, not just now, but live each and every weekday at noon, right here, emanating from the sportsfix.net, 90 minutes of power, or perhaps you listen to us on iTunes or Stitcher, Spreaker or SoundCloud, all the different places that you can find us. Thank you so much for joining us and taking the time out of your day to letting me hang with you, because I'll tell you, it is a great time. It is the highlight of my day, and hopefully it's one of yours as well. It takes a whole lot of people to make this thing happen, Daddy. The Sports Fix, brought to you by the Harry Buffalo North Olmsted, which, as you heard before we went on the air, is the official home for the Cleveland Browns watch parties and on-air broadcasts of the Sports Fix every week. We've got a home for Brown season this year, Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. Come on out. Don't listen to the talking heads on TV. Come talk to my head. We'll put you on the air. We're going to broadcast pregame, postgame, halftime shows. Be there each and every game, each and every Browns game, home and away, and you never know who's going to be there. We've got some special guests lined up for certain weeks. Don Cockcroft's going to come out and do a couple with us. Coach Sam. We're working on a whole lot of surprises, and there's going to be prize giveaways, jerseys, and maybe tickets, all kinds of stuff going on. Harry Buffalo North Olmsted is the place to be for Cleveland Browns games with the Sports Fix, beginning with the season opener and the Miami Dolphins. And don't forget also, Bike Night at Harry Buffalo every Monday night. That's coming up here. There's only four or five of those left. And every Saturday, starting this Saturday, the Buckeyes are in action. College Game Day Saturday is brought to you by Coors Light. $6 pitchers, four beers for $10. All kinds of specials, wing specials. They've got all kinds of things going on in those Browns games. They got them $10 hair of the dog pitchers. I'll tell you what, you got to keep those away from me while I'm on the air. But when I'm off the air, well, like we say, the party doesn't stop when we go off the air. We'll keep that thing going. So party with us every Sunday. Browns games plus be down there on Saturdays and watch the Buckeyes as well. Harry Buffalo, North Olmsted. Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck. Bill Hershey, Bill Opelich. Check out my man Bill and Bill. The Bills up there. They'll take care of you. They're not the Buffalo Bills because they're winners all day long. Ouch. I know I said that, but you know what? You got to get them where you fit in, baby, you know? Check them out, quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck. Really, all joking aside, they're great people, quality professionals. They'll work with you. Truck, car, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if commercial vehicle, they'll work with you. They're the home of the low-price tire guarantee. Not only that, but they'll work with you transportation-wise as well. You need your car. You need your vehicle, and they understand that. They'll keep you mobile while they're getting your repairs done, so check them out. quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck. They're located at 5715 Canal Road, just under the 480 bridge there in Valley View, right near Independence, Ohio. Tell you what, GV Art and Design. Matter of fact, I was tweeting with somebody listening earlier today. He's looking for a place to get some t-shirts, some Buckeyes and Viking shirts as college hoops and football seasons are coming up and stuff. I said, hey, can't go wrong with my boys at GV Artwork. And boom, just like you know, a couple t-shirts out the window. Check them out, gvartwork.com. Cleveland that I love. You guys know them. They're blowing up everywhere. gvartwork.com or the new store. Finally, they've got a brick and mortar location and it is beautiful. Go check it out in Lakewood, Detroit Avenue. Use the sales code FIX for any purchase you make. You'll save 10% on your total purchase. They have all kinds of unique designs. I mean, seriously, one of a kind stuff. GV Art, GV Art and Design, gvartwork.com. And remember, not just the sales code FIX to save you 10%, but share right now what you're listening to. If you like what you're listening to, like Brian Davis, who just said, hey, I'm listening. If you like what you're listening to, tell somebody right now, hey, listen to this cat, J-Rock. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Or, hey, listen to this guy. He is the baddest mamma jamma in the world. Whatever you want to say. I'm not trying to lead the jury here, but whatever you want to say, tell somebody to listen right now, and we'll put your name in the hopper. And every Monday at noon, we give away a t-shirt of your choice from our boys at GVArtwork.com. So make sure you get to sharing the word about the show. And last but not least, Signs and Ship, the official business printing source of the Sports Fix. Check them out. Whether your business is just growing, whether it's the seed of a business, or whether you've been plowing at the grind for years and you're ready to bust through to the next level, Signs and Ship, quality signs at affordable prices. They'll work with you. They'll take care of you. They'll take care of all your printing needs. Like I said, yard signs, whether it's mobile advertising, vehicle wraps, business cards. I mean, you name it. If you can think it up, they can take care of you. And if you need help branding, if you don't already have that brand and that logo that identifies you, like our Sports Fix logo, if you're on social media, it's all over the place. It's what identifies people to your brand. Chris is one hell of a graphic designer. They'll come up with a logo for you, too. So check them out. They've got locations here in Elyria, as well as Pennsylvania, Florida, Virginia. Signsandship.com is the website, or you can call the home office here in Elyria, 440-323-6060. Talk to Chris and Pam out there, signsandship.com. And I'll tell you what, this is the second last day I can tell you about this. You got to hit them up. $200. You've got until September 1st. If you spend $200 in a single purchase, then you'll get a professional studio quality commercial for your business printed up by us here, produced by us, and aired for a month free of charge just for working with Signs and Ship and the Sports Fix. So check them out. You've got just a couple of days left to take advantage of that. The phone lines, not going to open them up because, as I told you guys, my man, the sports writer extraordinaire, Jonathan Knight, coming on in just a minute. I'm going to open the phone lines, though, a little later in the show, so don't worry. Get the phone lines going. You can hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/thesportsfix. As that continues to grow, our Facebook page is the social media growing near 19,000 now. Unbelievable just to say that. Like the page while you're there if you haven't already, facebook.com/thesportsfix. Tweet with us at thesportsfixcle. As a matter of fact, my man Ron Graham's running the tweets today. Tweet with us at thesportsfixcle. You can email us, thesportsfix@aol.com. All different ways that you can interact with the show while we're on the air. And as I said, I'll give you that phone a little bit later on. But right now, I'm going to go to the phone lines right off the bat. We're switching things up, throwing you a curveball, Daddy. Going to the phone lines because my man, the sports writer extraordinaire, Jonathan Knight, joining us early today. JK, welcome to the show, my man. How you doing?
Jerry, I'm good. How are you?
I am fantastic. First thing I want to do right off the bat is tell you thanks, my man. Yesterday, your man Dan Wismar debuted with us. We talked some Buckeyes. We had a great little conversation.
Yeah.
I want to give you kudos for turning us on to him because I think that, much like yourself, is going to be another very interesting and fun part of the week here. He's going to come on with us on Mondays, review the games over the weekend, and then we'll do some preview work on Wednesday. And just like you, we'll branch off and talk a little Indians and Browns and all that too. But a great time. So thank you, my man.
Yeah, Dan's a good guy. One of the many excellent writers, reporters from the ClevelandFan.com that's just a fantastic website that I've been lucky enough to be a part of the last 3 years or so. And Dan's a part of that group as well. So a good guy, and I'm sure he'll do a good job, and everybody will enjoy his insights over the season.
Yeah, you know, we got to talking over the phone, and right away I could tell he was going to have some good chemistry. And then I started reading him, and he's got that a lot of that similar writing style that you do, and a lot of the guys there at the Cleveland Fan do that. Very, very entertaining and well thought out as well. I love it. So, again, thank you for hooking us up with him for sure.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what, man, I don't even know where to start here, but let's start because I got to tell you.
Smorgasbord of topics.
I was going through game notes from yesterday from the Indians, and when I saw this game note that I'm about to reference, I haven't even talked to you about this off the air, but remember the other night when you texted me about Hershiser taking the mound, right?
I knew you were going to. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
I'm telling you, man. But today I'm reading the game notes out of the plane dealer, and there's a little blurb about how the other night Salazar said that he had lost his release point, and they referenced back to when Hershiser said that he had lost his release point. But you said that before the game. You go, just joking, because we were talking about them not scoring any runs. You said, Hershiser's on the mound tonight, and it was Salazar. And how does that wrap around right to what you said? Unbelievable, man.
I thought of that in the first game, and then again last night. I thought, this is the 95 World Series. This is exactly what that felt like, those first two games in Atlanta. And I mean, obviously, we were joking about it and not taking it seriously, because it's almost 20 years later at this point, and I think that, you know, that water is under the bridge. But with the Indians returning to Atlanta, they haven't been there more than a couple of times since then, so it naturally evoked those memories of 95 and the World Series. And we joked about it, and I guess the stage was set in a way, because Atlanta is good once again. They're a very good team this year, and the Indians are struggling to hit and score. And so we naturally just started, it's just like 95, just like those first two games of the 95 series. And go look at it. That's exactly what happened. They are not scoring runs. If you look at the first two games of the 95 series, the Indians scored, I think, five runs in those first two games in Atlanta, and then were shut out in the third game. So in three games in Atlanta in the 95 World Series, they scored five runs, and that's basically what they're on pace for now. They've scored two runs in two games, and yeah, I'm afraid to see what's going to happen tonight, but it's eerily similar, and that's an uncomfortable feeling for Drive fans, particularly with the team in the middle of a pennant race.
But you know what? I'm going to start off, since we're talking about the Indians here off the bat, I want to start off by saying, first off, I'm not crushed or disheartened here by the way this thing has started, because without talking about the offense in general, these have been two hell of baseball games here, man. I thought really good baseball games to watch, low scoring. You know, for talking about the Indians hitting problems and stuff, you got to give credit on the other side to the Indians pitchers, because you're talking about the best hitting team in the National League, a power hitting team, and they've had one inning where they've gotten us for a two spot or whatever, but other than that, it's been zeros across the board, whether it was Salazar, Masterson, and then all the bullpen that's come through. So, you know, in that aspect, the pitching, once again, is held up. And, you know, last night, again, that I talked about it yesterday, the day before, it just felt like the Indians just couldn't get that one hit when they had something cooking. And last night, I mean, the base running blunder by Asdrubal Cabrera really looms large.
There's another connection to the 95 World Series. If you remember Manny Ramirez getting kicked off of first base. I mean, this is uncanny the way this has unfolded. So I guess, I mean, tonight that the Braves are going to pitch one hitter and win 1-0. I guess is that what that means? Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. But to your point, yeah, I mean, the pitching has been good. The Indians pitching, that is, has been good. And they have been. I mean, and we talked about this especially last week. And you brought up the point that the pitching and the defense for the Indians are what sort of has kept them alive all season and kept them relevant all season. And you felt that they were strong enough, those two aspects were strong enough to keep the Indians in games and keep them in the race, even if the offense doesn't turn it around. And to some extent that's true, but it's very difficult to win baseball games when you do not score. And I think the Indians are finding that out. Really, not just in Atlanta. If you look at the Minnesota series last weekend, they had the big game on Saturday where they scored seven runs and won easily. They scored one run on Friday and then tried as hard as they could to give away the game on Sunday and managed to have more errors than runs and won a game they had no business winning. So the bottom line is they won. The overall is that you look at this, and in four of the last five games, the Indians' offense has been putrid. So there's a recurring problem here, and you said it best, too, when you mentioned that they're not getting the key hit. I think they're 0-21 with runners in scoring position in this series now, which is ridiculous. There's just no excuse for that. This team is better than that. I think they know that they're better than that, but they can't be doing that against anybody, but particularly in a key series and a key part of this season like this. So that's got to change. No matter how good the pitching is, no matter how good the defense is, things have got to dramatically improve.
And I agree with you there. I mean, I do, at least like we said, take solace in the fact that, you know, that's correctable. Somebody, you've got to think that offense is going to get going again, because their calling card for all season, even when they struggled, was the two-out hits and runners in scoring position. They've been clutch all season long, so you've got to think, and really the fact that they're still top five in the American League in runs scored and in most offensive, you know, categories there, tells you that this is a slump that's magnified more by the time of the year that it's hit them through late August here, and now when they need it the least, you know, obviously they're dealing with it.
Yeah, and everything they do from now on is going to be under a magnifying glass,
for sure.
Assuming they stay in this race, everything is going to be magnified. It's very much a a quasi-playoff atmosphere. You know, a playoff series, everything becomes a very big deal, and things that didn't really matter in the regular season become huge issues when you get into a tight situation like this. So, yeah, I mean, if they continue to struggle, this is going to be the story, and unfortunately, maybe the legacy of the season, that the offense couldn't come through when we needed it to. So, yeah, I think you're right, though. I think this is below what this team is doing. Sooner or later, they're going to snap out of it. The problem is that they have one more against Atlanta, who may be the best team in the National League, and then they have three against Detroit, who is clearly the best team in the American League, followed by three more against Baltimore, who's right up there and certainly a playoff contender, probably one of the top four or five teams in the American League. Now, this key stretch, you don't want to overstate it, because there's still going to be, I think, 23 games to go after that. But this is really going to set the table for how much the Indians have to achieve, how much they can scoop up from that easier part of the schedule in the last 3 weeks. If the Indians wind up, my goal going into this was let's win four. Let's win four of these nine against Atlanta, Detroit, Baltimore. If you can do that, you keep your heads basically at sea level, keep the water from going over your head, and then you can look at, okay, let's try and win something like 15 or 16 of those last 23 and see where we are. That puts us up around 90, and that may put us in business. But the way this has started, if they don't snap out of this quickly and they do something like 3-6, 2-7 in this stretch, now you're looking at, geez, we got to win like 17, 18, 19 games of these last 23 just to hit 90. Now you're in trouble. Now that you're really, really setting the bar high. I don't care who you're playing. It's difficult to play anybody or to win that many games against anybody, no matter how bad they are. It's going to be hard to get the number of victories you're going to need to be there and be near the finish line when you need to be at the finish line. So this is a very, very key week and key weekend. And if they can snap out of it, if the offense, rather, can snap out of it, because as you said, the pitching has been there all along. If the offense can snap out of it and we come out of this stretch smelling pretty good, smelling like a rose, then I'll feel a lot better. But I'm really, really concerned with the offense going dark at the absolute worst time.
And I agree with you there. You know, as far as, especially as the chat room comments are coming in, the killer is, once again, we've talked about Detroit doing this all season long. When we're struggling, they do. But then when we get hot, they get hot, which keeps us from gaining, again, that Oakland-Detroit series killing us. Because if we'd have won the last couple, we'd be sitting here two or three games out heading into the Detroit series with three games left. And instead, we're letting them keep that distance. And I'm with you. I'm going to talk more about the Tribe as I get later on in the show when I can open up the phone lines. Let's hit this break. And when we come back, and I'm playing the Mojo music for them here. I got that 95 Tribe swing batter swing in the background, because that's what they need to do. They need to swing the ball and hit the ball. Hit the ball, more importantly, than swinging at it. But we'll talk more Tribe later. Let me hit this break. When we come back, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the Browns while I've got a few more minutes we're here with you. Talking to sports writer extraordinaire Jonathan Knight. You're listening to The Sports Fix. Do not go anywhere. We will be right back.
The Sports Fix, the show that asks the question,
what you talking about, Will? What you talking about, Will? What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about, Will? What you talking about? What you talking about, Will?
We'll be right back. Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck, home of the low price tire guarantee. QuickLane.com/Valley Ford Truck. Football season is party season at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. Everyone wins at Harry Buffalo. Every Saturday is Coors Light College Football Saturday with $6 pitchers, four bottles for $10, and the Buckeyes in full HD. Football season is most definitely party season, and your headquarters is Harry Buffalo North Olmsted all winter long. Harry Buffalo, join the herd.
You love Cleveland, and you already know how much we love Cleveland. You know who else loves Cleveland? GV Art and Design.
Everyday fans, you and I wear our pride on our sleeves. Now, you can wear your pride on your chest. GV Art and Design has one of the hottest Cleveland sporting lines. Whether it's their Cleveland That I Love design, or perhaps it's the Superman Birthplace of a Hero line of team-themed designs, whether you're a fan of the Indians or Browns, the Lake Erie Monsters or the CSU Vikings, the Cleveland Cavaliers, or just Cleveland in general, GV Art and Design has a logo, design, or style for you. Sports Fix listeners, as a special treat, every time you make a purchase from GV Art and Design, use the sales code FIX and save 10% on your total purchase. Log on right now to GVArtwork.com, check out all of their fantastic designs,
and don't forget, use the sales code FIX to save 10% on your total purchase.
Follow GVArtwork.com on Facebook, and remember, GV Art and Design, it's not just a shirt, it's a statement.
You're listening to The Sports Fix.
Welcome back to The Sports Fix, streaming live here on thesportsfix.net and all over the digital spectrum, however you're listening to us. J-Rock with you, thank you so much. We started hot and heavy right off the bat because we're on the phones with my guest, this man, my man, the sports writer extraordinaire, Jonathan Knight. JK, how you doing? Still with me?
Still with you. Still waiting for the Indians to come through with a hit with men in scoring position.
We've been waiting since 1995, man. Oh, man. Welcome back to the Sports Fix. We're talking to Jonathan Knight. Always a good time. I'm going to talk a little more Tribe later and take your comments as they keep coming in. Don't worry about that. But I've got a limited window here with JK. And you and I really haven't gotten a chance at all to talk about the Browns throughout the preseason.
Oh, so, amazing. You know, this might be the record for the longest embargo on Browns talk in August that we have ever had.
I mean, we've been talking about it, but I keep it in perspective. You know, obviously, we'll ramp things up next week when things count, and there's a lot of real stuff we can talk about. There'll be plenty that we can go into, especially depending on how this season goes. But, you know, what are your thoughts thus far on the preseason in general and what we've seen?
Well, I think the first two games, I think everyone got excited, and we saw some good things. And we saw some things that are warranted. I think there was a reason to be excited. There was some good things that we saw. I think Whedon looked particularly good, certainly compared not only to last season, but the last preseason. He looked miserable in the preseason last year. So even when you compare apples to apples, he looked much, much better this time around. That being said, I think we got a little bit of a wake-up call last Saturday in Indianapolis. I think that's a little closer to what we're going to see. I think that's the opposite end of the spectrum. I don't think they're as bad as they looked that day, but I think that's probably a little closer to what we're going to see when things are real, when things get real here in about 10 days. So I think they've still got a long way to go, and we're not going to see anything tonight. You know, the starters are sitting tonight. It's just go out there and try not to hurt yourself, the annual tradition of the fourth preseason game. So we're not going to see much of anything tonight. Maybe we'll get a little taste of what Jason Campbell can do. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, it's cautious optimism, I guess you would say. I'm not exactly sure. I don't really have a feel for this team yet because I think we're, as much as we were excited by those first two games, I think the third game really kind of wiped out a lot of that good feeling. So I don't know where we are. And again, we're not going to see much tonight. So we're not going to really know, get a real beat on this team until they hit the pads for real next weekend.
Absolutely. That's what you do. You know, that's when you really are going to get your look. I agree with you. We're not obviously as high as people thought we were in the first 2 weeks when they really weren't even playing against us. That was totally, but they're not as bad as they looked against a very good Colts team as well. My question, you know, I guess one question for you here. I understand people's thoughts about the fourth preseason game and that, but to me, I hearken back to last year when Brandon Whedon did nothing to show that he deserved to take that fourth preseason week off, yet Pat Shurmur gave it to him, and we saw how he looked when the bullets started flying for real against the Eagles.
Yes.
And now all I'm saying is I don't want Brandon Whedon to suffer a season-ending injury against guys hungry to make a roster spot tonight. But at the same time, after you played last week, I truly believe that he needed to be out there for just at least a series or two, not to show that he knows the play calls or anything, but number one, to show him that it's a league that you earn – your days off. You earn getting that fourth preseason game off, but also to give him a positive feeling heading into the first week of the season.
Yeah, I agree. I understand the, particularly with the way things went in the second preseason game with all the injuries we suffered and how those have already sort of affected our outlook a little bit for the season. I totally understand not wanting, and it's not just Whedon, there's a lot of first teamers that are not going to play tonight. And I totally understand that and respect that. And if that's the way you're going to go, you know, conservative, I don't know that you really can fault them too much for being overly conservative in this case. But to your point, and I think it's a very valid point, is I think it would be worthwhile to throw them out there at least for a series or two, just to kind of get the rhythm down, sort of rinse away the bad taste in their mouth that I'm sure they had after last week. And for nothing else, then that will now be, when you're going into the opener, that'll be more than two solid weeks without facing any live competition. So you're going to be rusty, if nothing else. Even if you did feel good after your last performance, you're still going to be rusty. I don't care how much you practice. There's a big difference between practice and live action. So I would have liked to have seen them hang in there, even if not for a quarter, then just, like I said, for a couple of series. But at the same time, yeah, okay, we're not going to lose anybody else to injury. That's fine. Let's see where we are. And really, you know, for all the hand-wringing we do over playing time in the preseason, no matter how much you play or don't play, you're not going to be prepared. It's a whole new ballgame when you start a fresh season. And rarely, not just the Browns, but rarely do you see NFL teams hit the ground running on opening day. I think it still takes at least a couple of weeks, even for good teams, to really kind of hit their stride, get used to playing full games against actual competition. So I don't know that playing another quarter or so in a preseason game is going to make a difference. I think there's still going to be some rust, and there's still going to be a transition period when you start any regular season, not just the Browns, but everybody.
I agree. I agree to a point. Like Gunther just pointed out in the chat room, though, injuries can happen walking in the door to read your playbook at the same time. But I do understand. Yes. I'll tell you what. And I'm going to talk a little more Browns when I preview the game later. But my thought is, I think Judd wanted to play the starters. I truly believe that the speech you just gave me is exactly what Joe Banner or somebody in the front office said to Judd and said, you know what? It's not worth the risk of somebody going down. And I think that second preseason game may have, you know, made him a little gun-shy as well. I didn't want to see Richardson. I'm totally fine with him not playing. But like you said, a series or two for Whedon, if nothing else, just to show him that in this league, nothing is given, it's earned, because you can't burn that into guys' heads enough.
Completely. And if that is the case, if that's the argument that Joe Banner, whoever else made, or if that's the line of thinking that was used to make this decision, then why in the world are we playing four preseason games? This is a waste of time.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I guess you could say, well, if we played three, then nobody would play in the third one. If we played two, nobody would play in the second one. Like that last one, it's just like a bad luck. Nobody wants to tempt fate by playing their starters in the last preseason game, because it'd be such a tragic, ironic twist for them to go down. So, I think it's safe to say that four preseason games is too much. that was the one good thing that came out of the 18-game season discussions that were going on a couple of years ago, was that the only good thing about that was we would limit or cut the number of preseason games in half from four to two. And that was the only part of that I was excited about. And I don't think it was worth it either. I don't think 18 games was a good idea in the first place. But that was at least one silver lining to that. Hey, less preseason games. Thank goodness.
Absolutely. Jonathan Knight, the sports writer extraordinaire. I love to have him each and every week here on the show. You know what? Real quick, before we let you go, I'm gonna push off this break because I totally forgot. While we're talking Browns, talk to me a little bit about your newest labor of love, because it's been a while since we've had to talk about one of your books. You've got a new Browns book coming out, my man.
I do. In fact, just this morning, my publisher tweeted out a picture. Apparently, arrived from the printer. It's a reality. So it's now just a matter of time for the magical elves to spread their pixie dust and get it on the internet, get it onto Amazon.com, and get it into stores, however that works, and get it out there so people can get their hands on it. But yes, it's a little different than my other ones, and maybe we can talk a little more about it next week too, when it's actually available. But quickly, it is basically it's more of an encyclopedia than anything else. It takes every single game. It's a game summary and box score of every single game the Browns have ever played, in regular season and postseason. And so that adds up to just under 1,000 games over the 66 years that they've been doing this. So, yeah, so it's very different. It's if nothing else, it's going to be a heck of a doorstop, because this is a pretty nice, big, thick book that I think people will enjoy. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun, I think, for people, particularly those that have followed the team since childhood and remember going to games with their dad and with family and watching games on TV, that this will really kind of help bring some of those memories into focus, that they can say, oh, I remember that game against the Steelers, but I don't remember the year. And this can kind of help them, oh, yeah, that was when that was. And they can pinpoint it and kind of bring the memories together and sort of bring some of their past and some of the retrospective and the memories into sharper focus and get more enjoyment out of looking back at their lives of Browns football. So I think it'll be fun. I think it's going to be neat when it gets out to see what people think about it.
That's awesome, and that sounds like a ton of research. Yeah, next week I want to talk to you way more about that, most definitely. But a good teaser right there. You're going to want to get
there
your hands
is.
On
yep.
that coat. Come Brown season, baby. And what do you know? It's Brown season. I like the way you said that. You know, just this morning. I'm like, just this morning, coincidentally.
Just this morning,
bam.
Yeah. Just happened. It was on the horizon, and just this morning, breaking news, it came through. So, yeah, it's apparently officially official. It's actually a book and sitting in somebody's office right now waiting to land on your doorstep.
I love it. Next week, we'll talk about where they can find it, how much it costs, all the details and information so people can jump on it. JK, I'm looking forward to that. And hey, you know what else we'll talk about next week? Hopefully the Indians' month of September looking good and real Browns football as opposed to fake Browns football.
Real football. And one more thing real quick. I know we didn't talk about it and probably don't have time in a jam-packed show, but big moment in the sports season tomorrow night, high school football kicks off again. That's always, as excited as we get about the NFL and college, this is the grassroots of American football. I love high school football. I love that it's starting. And it's one of those, like I said, one of those milestone moments of the calendar. So big, big night tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm with you there. We've got Ed Doherty, the voice of the St. Ignatius Wildcats. He's going to be joining us tomorrow and previewing the kickoff of high school football season. And then every Friday,
Fantastic. He's
going to be going through the Friday night.
There's a guy who knows his high school football. So you're in
exactly.
good you're in good shape. Listeners, tune in. This guy knows what he's talking about.
Absolutely. Jonathan Knight, my man, the sports writer extraordinaire, thank you so much for taking time out of your Thursday with us. Looking forward to talking to you some more next week.
You bet, buddy. Looking forward to it.
All right, take care. Jonathan Knight, you can read his stuff, by the way, on theclevelandfan.com, and you can hear him each and every week right here on the show. We're going to take a break. When we come back, another guy you can hear each and every week, each and every Thursday to be exact, fantasy football expert B.J. Riddell, the author of Fantasy Football for Winners, joins us for his weekly segment next, live, when we come back. So, fantasy football fans, tell somebody to tune in right now because we are going over the tweaks and the strategy for the last week of drafting here and then heading in to the regular season. Don't go away. B.J. Riddell, Fantasy Football for Winners, coming up next on The Sports Fix.
We here at The Sports Fix want to make all of your dreams come true.
What about my dream?
Edith, I told you I can't build your candy house. It will fall down. The sun will melt the candy. It won't work.
It will if it never rains.
Oh, maybe not all of them. Get your fix on The Sports Fix.
Harmony, harmony, all
love. It's an addiction. The Sports Fix will be right back.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by GV Art and Design. It's not just a shirt, it's a statement. GVArtwork.com.
Business owners and professionals, do you want to take your business, your product, your team, your event to the next level? You want to advertise right here with the Sports Fix. Our listeners are among the most loyal listeners, terrestrial or internet. The Sports Fix universe is not only the radio show, but tens of thousands of fans on Facebook and Twitter. Email me, Jerry Myers, thesportsfix@AOL.com. That's thesportsfix@AOL.com. And let me help you swing for the fences and hit it out of the park right here on the Sports Fix.
Sports Fix listeners, do you tweet? So do we. So tweet with us 24/7 at the Sports Fix CLE. Football season is party season at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. And no matter who you root for, everyone wins at Harry Buffalo. Every Saturday is Coors Light College Football Saturday with $6 pitchers, four bottles for $10, and the Buckeyes in full HD. Every Sunday, the Sports Fix is broadcasting live with giveaways and prizes and joining you in watching all the Browns action with Bud Light beer specials and $10 Hair of the Dog pitchers.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. That's some fun.
Plus, every Monday night, catch the Monday Night Football action with some of your favorite Browns players. Football season is most definitely party season, and your headquarters is Harry Buffalo North Olmsted all winter long. Harry Buffalo, join the herd.
I'm here again with Bill Opelich from Quick Lane at Valley Ford. Bill, what's new in the Quick Lane?
Battery rebate. Summer is just as hard on your battery as the winter. Quick Lane at Valley Ford will test your battery at no charge. And if you need a battery, we have a $25 mail-in rebate on the purchase of a tested tough Motorcraft battery starting at $79.95.
Wow, that's a great deal, Bill. Tell me more.
Our brake rebate is still on until June 30th. $25 per axle with the purchase and installation of Motorcraft brake pads, as well as offering a $50 rebate when you purchase $250 or more and charge your Ford genuine credit card. Some exclusions apply. As always, we have a low price guarantee on all our tires. If you find the same price within 30 days, we will refund the difference. Stop in, let us check your battery and top off your washer fluid.
Where do I have to go to get those great deals?
Come to Quick Lane at Valley Ford on Canal Road between Rockside and Granger in Valley View, just 10 minutes from downtown Cleveland. We're open at 7 every day. Open late Monday through Thursday till 9, Friday till 6, and Saturday till 2.
Go to quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
Hey, it's Hugh Hewitt, and when I want to know what's going on with the Cavs, the Browns, and the Tribe, I tune into Sports Fix.
Newsbreak. Good morning, I'm Doug Brown. The new college football season kicks off tonight. There's an ESPN doubleheader starting at 6 Eastern with number 6 South Carolina hosting North Carolina. On Saturday, 7th-ranked Texas A&M will host Rice. Heisman Trophy winner Johnny Manziel will be suspended for the first half of that game after what the school called an inadvertent violation of NCAA rules involving autograph signing. It was a late night at the U.S. Open after more than 4 hours of rain delays. American James Blake played the last singles match of his career, losing a 2-sets-to-none lead against Ivo Karlovic. The last 2 sets decided in tie breaks. Blake will still play doubles at the Open. And in a match that started just before midnight Eastern time, American Sloane Stephens beat Ursula Radwanska in straight sets. Live coverage of the Open continues at 1 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2 HD. From the NBA, new Atlanta Hawks head coach Mike Budenholzer was arrested last night and charged with DUI. He was released on bond early this morning.
If you've been drinking, get a ride, call a cab, or find some other safe way home. Cops all across the country are cracking down on drunk driving, and they'll see you before you see them. Drive sober or get pulled over.
Now, back to the Sports Fix.
Welcome back to the Sports Fix, and we are live, Daddy, each and every weekday at noon, and right now, getting ready to go to the phone lines, J-Rock with you, and we'll be taking your calls in just a little bit, but we rock it out every Thursday, talking some fantasy football with my next guest, BJ Riddell, but in just a second, I'm going to bring him up real quick, and I'll get more on this here perhaps in the next break, but breaking news here across the internet that the NFL and the players have reached a proposed $765 million settlement in the group of concussion-related lawsuits. So more on that. I'll make some phone calls as well. I'm going to try to reach out to Reggie Rucker and see what's going on there. But anyways, welcome back to the show. J-Rock with you, going to the phone lines here because, as I said just a second ago, going to talk fantasy football. We do this every week. It's one of the, not just mine, but obviously by the numbers, one of yours most anticipated segments of the week here. We're going to talk fantasy football with my guest. Oh, excuse me, as I'm trying to pull him up, I was getting ready to hit the wrong button. Almost hung up on you. BJ Riddell, author of Fantasy Football for Winners. Welcome back into the Sports Fix. How's your week been, my man?
Hey, J-Rock. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. How's your week been?
Good, man. Good. This is 1 week left before opening day. So everyone's finalizing their roster, finalizing the drafts, and this is a good time of year.
Absolutely. You know, what are your thoughts on that real quickly? Like, our league, our draft is this Sunday because I just believe in setting, you know, the draft for after teams have played their games and rosters are much more set into how it's going to go in the regular season. What's your thought? Because I see so many drafts that happen at the beginning of preseason. To me, that's kind of mind-blowing because, as we see, so many things can change in 4 weeks.
Absolutely. I talked to a guy who did a draft back in July, and he took Jonathan Stewart, and he acknowledges now that was a huge mistake. But back in July, he felt like Stewart might poke some touchdowns and, you know, do what he does best. So you never know how it's going to play out, and I agree with you. It's more of a crapshoot if you're going to draft before mid-August, and this is the time when you pretty much know how the roster battles are shaken out. So everyone's on the same page in terms of at least how people are valued based on whether they'll start or not.
All right. Well, talking about those drafts and how things, you know, take shape, how do you approach your draft? First things, like looking at it from a general perspective, what is your draft strategy heading in there when you know you've got 10, 12, 14 other people there, you know, thinking the same as you? What's your thought process from the get-go?
Sure. In my thought process, it's probably three things. One is I want to start as many positional runs as possible. So if I'm picking ninth and the first eight players taken are seven running backs, and let's say Drew Brees, I'm thinking Calvin Johnson. I'd rather have the best receiver than the eighth best running back. And I'm doing that through tight end, defense later in the draft. I want to make sure I have the elite talents at every position. Throughout the season, you can always pick up guys who are going to be a number two or number three running back if somebody gets hurt, or a number two, number three receiver. Those guys are out there if you're paying attention. It's very hard to pick up and find elite talents. In 2011, Jimmy Graham and Victor Cruz came out of nowhere. A year before that, Brandon Lloyd. Occasionally you'll get one, but more often than not, you need to get those elite talents in the draft. The second thing is understand the rules of your league. If you play in a PPR league or a two-quarterback league, it's going to influence the importance of getting certain positions at certain times. A PPR league, you might have a running back who gets more receptions than any other running back 2 years in a row. That's a running back you may want to target higher than you would have otherwise. You've got to know the rules. And the third thing is come in with at least 2 to 3 sleepers at each of the major positions. So in other words, quarterback, running back, tight end, wide receiver, at the very least, you need to have 2 to 3 guys who you think no one's going to be focused on, and be ready to pluck those guys up at the end of the draft if none of the better players are available. So you're not sitting there desperate at the end. I think there's a lot of draft fatigue, especially in long drafts. You might have 15 rounds, 16 rounds. By round 12, people are just, you know, I'll just take this guy just because he's available. If you know what you're doing at that point, rounds 12 to 15, you may not win the draft in rounds 12 to 15, but you might find two guys who could be starting later in the season in rounds 12 to 15 who no one else is thinking about, and those are the guys you need to be targeting.
All right, now I've got a question. I'm trying to think of this from different perspectives because, you know, obviously you're well into it. I play regularly now every year, but there's people that are really casual fantasy football players. So I'm trying to think of questions that really appeal to everybody. I guess for the casual player, or perhaps the first-time player, what are the biggest mistakes that you see people make when it comes to their draft?
They take guys who, let's say, Joe Flacco or, you know, Colin Kaepernick is terrific, but people tend to give more credit to players whose teams get to the Super Bowl. I had a guy actually come to me, no joke, a few days ago, and that's why I thought of it. He said, well, you know, I picked up Flacco as my backup QB because he won the Super Bowl last year. And I say winning the Super Bowl is meaningless from a fantasy perspective. You know, he won the Super Bowl not because he's a great fantasy quarterback. So people come into it, and if they've heard of someone because their team does well, that doesn't mean they're going to be the best person for your team. And I think people also get caught up with, what did they do last year? You take a guy like Heath Miller. Last year he was terrific. So people should be thinking about him, you know, as a decent player. But then again, you know, this may not be the best example. He was hurt coming into this season, starting on the PUP list. He may not play until October. So then everyone's running away from him. The key is some happy balance between. You don't just go off what they did the previous year. You have to take the whole collection of what they've done for their career and what they've done lately and how the offensive scheme and the quarterback and other factors will contribute to this season. But you also have to look at guys who might be hurt this year and say, just because they're hurt to start the season doesn't mean that they won't help me starting week six or week seven. So you've got to think about guys who may not be anywhere in the ADP top 150, but by week six or seven, once they get back from injury or suspension or whatever, might be high-impact players. But I am tired about hearing people say Adrian Peterson's going to do even better than he did last year. It's not going to happen. Career, 4.8 yards per carry. Last year he got 6 yards per carry. That's an anomaly. That's not the standard for a 28-year-old running back in this league. So people need to understand, just because somebody does it once doesn't mean that's the new floor and the ceiling is higher than that. I say that oftentimes people who have career years at that age, that's their ceiling, and you have to look at not just what they did the previous year, but understand what they might do in a median level going forward.
And, I was just about to stress that, because you brought that up before, how so many times that's a foolish thing. We talked about that when we were talking about Phil Dawson, and how when an older guy is coming off the best year, their career numbers, that people get influenced by that, most definitely. Looking at these, you bring up draft boards, top 150s and stuff. Is that another common mistake that you see, especially the more casual player use when they're doing their drafts, is not realizing that everybody is using the same draft list? Everybody's going to the same resources when they're looking for their materials.
That's right. I've got I had a draft a couple weeks ago. I got my second of two drafts. I only do two leagues tonight. And both of them are online. So I know what everyone's looking at. They're looking at, if anyone of your listeners play ESPN, CBS Sports, you see who's the recommended next player on the list.
Yep.
And so if I'm looking way down the list, 20, 30 players, and I see a guy I want, I feel pretty confident. I'm about 90% sure that no one else is going to think about taking him. If they're going in the order of the players, more or less within 5 or 10 of that order. So that's where sleepers come into play. If I know a guy 50th on the list actually is going to play like a top 20 player, then I don't need to take him in the top 20. I should focus on him maybe when he comes to me in the fourth round, and then he's mine and I've just gotten great value for him. So the more people I know that are looking through their booklets, although not many people do that these days, are going on the same site, that means I've got a competitive advantage, because I've already done the research to say which one of those rankings is bunk, which ones are accurate, and therefore I'm better off round by round.
Now, is there anywhere there, I know on the internet everybody, and you got to deal with everybody saying the same stuff, is there any places that you would recommend people look out outside the box, perhaps, that most people check out?
Yeah, there's a couple places. RotoWorld, I'm a big fan of. Evan Silva does a great job, and the other folks at RotoWorld. Feel free to tweet him and say that. I've talked with his brother, Sam Drew, and they're good people, and they're very smart, and they know what they're talking about. And they have a history of analyzing this stuff, and that's what makes them very valuable to me. I also found a post, and what I like doing is just exploring the web and see what people are analyzing. There's a post called a site called rotopost.com, R-O-T-O-P-O-S-T. And I have no allegiance to either of these places, so I can talk about them, and since you asked. But I found something really interesting. On Rotopost, they actually did an analysis of where the greatest differences in terms of elite and second and third tier players are at each position year after year. Oh, so I know after reading that post that elite running backs tend not to be as reliable in terms of their actual output versus elite receivers. But on the flip side, elite running backs that perform well way outperform the second tier beyond that of the first and second tier receivers. So I know that if I take an elite running back, I've got a less chance of getting a big bump. But if I do get that big bump, it's going to be much bigger than the bump I would have gotten at other positions. That's the kind of analysis, the statistical analysis that I'm looking for when I'm going into a draft, because I want to know what are the risks, what are the rewards. And based on where I am in a draft position, I want to know what the wisest choice is at that spot. Do I take, Trent Richardson, or do I take Calvin Johnson? What's the risk? What's the reward? And you don't know that unless you look at the numbers.
talking to BJ Riddell, author of Fantasy Football for Winners. And, you know, I'm going to put you on the spot here. You're talking about those different positions of value, and I like that. As a matter of fact, I'm punching up a couple of those websites here that we talked about right now. I'm not going to repeat them. If you didn't hear them once, too bad for you. Anyways, let's talk about that. Let's look at, we've talked the last few weeks about top five and all the different positions. Let's look at this draft. Let's look at the top 10 or 12, because most leagues are 10 and 12 team leagues. What do you have kind of as your top, your draft board there, the top 10, 12 players here coming into this draft?
Well, assuming a non-PPR league, PPR, you know, has some influence on, you know, where quarterbacks will fall, because they're not as valuable in a PPR league. But, I would say that, you know, when you take about maybe the first 12, I'd say there's about eight running backs that you want to look at. And that includes Adrian Peterson, although I have him lower on my list. I have him ranked fifth. It does include Arian Foster, because I believe he's an undervalued player at where he's, I've seen him go recently in drafts, between six and eight, because people are concerned about injury. And I say that it's worth taking the risk on a guy like Arian Foster, because he's a game changer. Marshawn Lynch, Ray Rice, Doug Martin, C.J. Spiller, Trent Richardson, and Alfred Morris. I have Jamaal Charles and LeSean McCoy on the cusp, and Stephon Ridley on the cusp. And I'll add one more to that, Chris Johnson on the cusp. I really like Drew Brees more than Aaron Rodgers. I haven't completely fleshed out whether there's a second quarterback in that mix. I think there's going to be a surprise. I don't think Rodgers is going to be a top three. I've been saying that for a few weeks. I think the loss of Greg Jennings and Donald Driver will have some kind of impact, and I'm not convinced that Jermichael Finley can fill the gap and fulfill that promise that he's shown sporadically throughout his career. And I think Calvin Johnson, A.J. Green, and Dez Bryant are true game changers. I like Dez Bryant as a number two. A.J. Green is probably on the cusp. So of those, you see one quarterback, three receivers, and I think you counted eight running backs, and that would be my top 12 right now, I'm not sure. I was very high on Cam Newton heading into the season. I'm very worried about the right side of his offensive line. And I'm worried about the fact that his receiver core has not improved since last year. Steve Smith is another year older. Brandon LaFell is not a proven commodity. And so I'm looking at other guys on the list and saying, who can fill that gap of being an elite QB that people aren't talking about? I'm not convinced it's going to be Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not convinced it's going to be Peyton Manning.
Now I'm sitting here listening to you and taking notes myself. Talking to BJ Riddell here, this is good stuff. That's the top of the draft. You know, what about, we've talked about various sleepers and stuff like that. Later in the draft, what are mistakes people make? Where do you see people, you know, sometimes people take defenses too early. You and I have talked about that, different things like that. You know, in this draft here, you know, where do you see perhaps in the middle to later rounds that people can really get an advantage over somebody as that draft, you've talked about, as that draft fatigue starts to wear out?
Yeah, I'm looking at that point as guys who are either handcuffs or running back by committee kind of running backs. I'm thinking of guys like Joe Bell in Detroit. I'm thinking of guys like Noshon Moreno in Denver. Yeah. I'm even looking at Kansas City's running back. I think it's pronounced Niall Davis. I may have botched his name. But I'm looking at guys who, if the guys in front of them get hurt, or if the guys in front of them fall short, these guys are going to be standout fantasy stars, in my opinion. They'll be the next Bryce Brown, at least for the 2 weeks that Bryce Brown was good. And so I'm looking at guys like that who have low risk, very high upside. And if I get lightning in the bottle, one out of four picks, it's well worth it. If I play it safe and just go with a number three receiver on a team, you know, if I go with Riley Cooper, I think that's a waste. No offense to Riley Cooper. He might have a good year. Jason Avant might have a decent year. Supposedly that Philly offense is revamped, ready to go. I'm not convinced. I'd rather take a chance and try to find the next Alfred Morris.
And you know, one other thing that I thought of here is I'm making notes, I'm trying to keep up with questions that I want to ask you as you're saying stuff. Go back a little earlier. You talked about how, because now there's differences when it comes to fantasy with that different injured reserve lift where some of the guys are only off, you know, they can come back after 6 weeks. It's no longer a full season thing. A couple of the guys that fall into that category, like Percy Harvin and Crabtree, you know, what risk reward do you put on those guys? Where do you see it being worth taking, say, a Percy Harvin in this year's draft?
Yeah, I think it's worth taking Percy Harvin in the last, you know, two or three picks. Absolutely, because you got to think about the playoffs. 2 years ago, I picked up Percy Harvin in a similar situation when he went nuts for Minnesota, and he had a couple games where he was rushing, he was receiving, he was scoring, he was doing a little bit of everything. That was when, you know, Peterson was out that year. So Harvin became the focal point of the offense at the age of, 24. And I benefited a great deal from him stepping up, just because I picked him up when no one else was thinking about him. So if you're not going to draft someone like that, at the very least, a few weeks into the season, you should set a reminder for yourself somewhere that you're going to see it that says, pick up this guy. You know, it might be after a few guys are finished with their bye week, so you don't have to worry about stocking up on one-week replacements, and then you can settle in and try to position your team for the playoffs. And guys like Percy Harvin could be game-changers come the playoffs. Also, for your listeners who might be in keeper leagues, Denario Alexander, Jeremy Maclin, these guys might be very valuable in keeper leagues. And picking them up, if you have a deep bench, picking them up in the 15th, 16th round, and just stashing them away on your bench for your keeper league next year, I think makes a lot more sense than just forgetting about them all together and starting from scratch. If you're in an auction keeper league, and you get one of those guys for a buck at the end of the draft, you probably got a steal come next year.
Always great stuff, BJ. I'm going to put you on the spot with my last question here before we start next week talking about lineups and real football and all of that. You've got one pick. It's the number one pick. Who is your overall number one pick in this year's fantasy draft?
Past few weeks, I've been tweeting about it. I did it myself with my first draft. I had the seventh pick, and I grabbed him, and I thought I was the luckiest guy in the first round. We'll see if it's right. It's C.J. Spiller. I don't like the fact that the Bills don't have much of a quarterback. I don't like the fact that the Bills' defense is shaky, and I'd rather have a defense that's good so that I know that at least the team won't be falling too far behind to use that running back, because if you're down 24-0, that running back is not going to be as effective from a fantasy perspective than if you're up 24-0. But C.J. Spiller, I think pound for pound, is the most exciting running back out there. I think he has the highest upside. People have told me, well, Fred Jackson's a handcuff, and I say 32-year-old Fred Jackson is not a handcuff. No way, shape, or form. And I breathed a sigh of relief last week when Spiller went down in that preseason game after scoring a touchdown and then came back in a few plays later to play. he's the guy I want to anchor my team around. And, you know, I very well could be wrong. There's no one out there who knows for sure, and that's the greatness about fantasy football. But I guess the key is you have to play the probabilities. And I think the probabilities that I have show that C.J. Spiller has a higher upside play 16 games and produce at a high level and be the focal point of that offense than any of the other elite running backs out there.
There you hear it. It's just like the real deal. You never know until it happens, so you're making projections. But there you go. C.J. Spiller. There's a name that not a lot of people would throw out there if you ask him that question. B.J. did, and he's not afraid to back down. We'll see how that goes, because I do think he's going to have a very exciting year as well. B.J., this preseason has been fun, but it's going to get a whole lot more fun starting next Thursday when we're talking about setting weekly lineups for real fantasy football, real fantasy football, and real NFL football. You know what I mean. But next week, it counts. It starts the real season, as they'd say. Can't wait for it.
That's right.
Man.
Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. BJ Riddell, tweet with him at BJ Riddell. As a matter of fact, we just tweeted to Roto World and told him about your plug. So there you go. We're going to hit the break next week, 12:40. BJ Riddell going to be here with us, and it's going to count, Daddy, in fantasy and in the real NFL. Thank you so much, BJ. It's been
That's
fun,
great.
And I can't wait to kick off a season with you, my man.
Have a great week,
J-Rock. You too. BJ Riddell, author of Fantasy Football for Winners. By the way, fantasy football listeners, everybody out there, because you can play no matter where you're at. We have three openings left. People that did not in time fill out the information for our league. I have deleted their entries. We have three openings. Email me right now, thesportsfix@AOL.com. Email thesportsfix@AOL.com. Say, hey, I want to jump in the Sports Fix Fantasy League, because the first three people that do, you're going to get the first opportunity to jump in. Our draft is this Sunday, and we'll be talking about that throughout the season, too. So, hey, there you go. You get to hear your fantasy football prowess tweeted and talked about on the airwaves and the social media networks of the Sports Fix all season long. We're going to take a break. When we come back, going to talk about that Browns game tonight. Going to talk about the Indians as well, a little bit about that. So much more to come. Don't go away. And we're going to open up the phone lines for the first time today when we come back. We've still got plenty to come here on the Sports Fix.
Upside down, easy now. Let me see you move.
The Sports Fix. Who's this?
The Sultan of Swat.
Who?
King of Crap.
Who?
Lost the
Spot.
The Great Bambino.
We may not always know where we're going, but we do hit all the bases. Make sure your home plate for sports talk is the Sports Fix.
It's the Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Signs and Ship, the official printing source of the Sports Fix. Quality printing at affordable prices. Find out more at signsandship.com. Sports Fix listeners, like us on Facebook today. Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. The engines are cranking and purring, and that can only mean one thing. Bike nights are back at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. Rev up your hogs and head on down to Harry Buffalo North Olmsted every Monday night. Enjoy $3 drinks and beers,
$5 pizzas,
and crazy wing specials for all bikers, all on their open patio.
Woo-hoo!
Hot bikes, good friends, and great times are waiting for you. 4824 Great Northern Boulevard, right outside Great Northern Mall. Monday bike nights at Harry Buffalo, the proud sponsor of the Sports Fix.
Whether it's an oil change or a new set of tires, Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck has you covered for your car care needs. They're your neighborhood quick service experts. They also offer a low price tire guarantee. Choose from 13 brands, and if you find the same tires at a lower price within 30 days, Quick Lane at Valley Ford will refund the difference. 5715 Canal Road, right under the 480 Bridge in Valley View. Come see why life is better in the Quick Lane. QuickLane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
Hey, Cleveland, this is Tristan Thompson of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and you're listening to Sports Fix.
Don't just hear the show, be heard. Call us now, 216-539-7535, and get your fix.
Free your mind.
That's right. Free your mind, and the rest will follow here on the Sports Fix. Welcome back, my friends. J-Rock with you. I want to thank BJ Riddell, author of Fantasy Football for Winners, for joining us for his weekly hit here on the show, as well as the sports writer extraordinaire joined us earlier. What a great first hour it was. Now, hey, we've still got plenty of time to go, Daddy, and the phone lines are open now. Sorry it took so long, but you know how we do it. 216-539-7535. 216-539-7535 is the number to call. You know, In the chat room here, in the Mixler room, I saw some guys talking about the Indians, and I'm not really sure why apparently some of the news isn't right. They're talking about Kendrys Morales and the Indians perhaps making a claim on him, but Kendrys Morales ended up Seattle was not able to work out a deal with anybody that put a claim in for him. He's now, as far as I know, the way the rule goes, he's now with them for the rest of the season. He cannot be traded at this point, so they had to pull Kendrys Morales back. So I don't know about that, and I'll look more into that, but obviously not. We heard as well the Indians, you know, supposedly not one of the teams that put a claim in on Josh Willingham. I wasn't that interested in him now with the way he's struggling and the amount of money left, although I was 2 years ago. That's a different story, though. Jason Kubel's still out there. That's somebody that I think might be tantalizing to the Indians management. They have to be, you know, kicking the tires. For as much as we've talked about how the Indians And I guess we're going to talk about the Indians now. But for as much as we've talked about the Indians and how they, you know, are content with what they've got if they have to go forward with it, at the same time, you've got to think, especially these games here with Atlanta, this is shown, and it shows me, and it should show you, that these Indians can play playoff caliber baseball. The pitching is there. They are able to I'm telling you, the front office to me has got to be tantalized by the thought of just finding somebody who can spark this offense if it's just for a couple of weeks, because as it just seems like that's what's missing. I'm not even talking about getting a big bopper. I'm not talking about any of that. That's off-season stuff. We got to worry about that later. But there's got to be somebody that they're looking for. Whether they find them or not, I don't know. As we keep hearing their names out in all of these different scenarios, you know that's what they've got to be thinking. And, you know, it does say, you know, they've got much more minor league pitching depth than they've got when it comes to positional players as well. As you see, they bring Crash Carson up, you know, and hey, they're looking for that spark. I saw a lot of people giving him a lot of guff for that, by the way, last night, about how they brought him up and then, of course, pinch hit him in that situation later in the game. But here's the thing. I think they're just looking for that spark. Just like you saw when they brought up Salazar, and they, you know, obviously got more than their money's worth there. But yes, Crash from Bull Durham. But anyways, the chat room always takes me off topic here. But you got to be thinking they're looking for that too, because that's what this team needs now. In all honesty, it just needs something to get it going. And perhaps coming from the outside, there's a couple of days left. Well, we've got until the 31st, so there's still a few days left here for them to work something out for a player to be able to come to the Indians and be eligible to go forward in the postseason with them. Because like I said earlier with Jonathan Knight, and you guys always know he's my yin and yang. We talk about this all the time because he goes a little more, I don't know, some people call it negative. He would probably call it more realistic, because you guys know, you know, I stay positive, but in Cleveland, the reason people wait for the other shoe to drop is because usually it does. So I do understand that, and I totally get where he's coming from, and half the time, more than half the time, he ends up being right when it comes to him and I. So you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I think that the fact that the way they've played, especially with the pitching and that, I think that it's just, it's there. This team is there. It's not disheartening. Now, it's not, you're not getting blown out of buildings. You're not losing bad games. I mean, you're not winning games that you should lose either. Like, it's right there. I don't know how to explain it, but you can feel that the core of this team is right there. And like I said, it just needs something here going forward. This series here, you know, last night hurts. And it's Drupal Cabrera, really, to me. He short-circuited that inning with the base running because you had the man on third. You would have had the opportunity there to perhaps bring that guy there. You know what I mean? So, and then in the bottom of the ninth, what are you going to do? Because some people were getting on Tito for walking. You know, what are you going to do? You know, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't there, because either guy, I mean, it's not like we're talking about, you know, a bum there and we're walking. You know, look at what he did. I mean, you got your choice of Freddie Freeman. He's hitting .311, 16 home runs, 85 RBIs. You'll walk him so you can face Chris Johnson, who's hitting .331 with 10 homers and 57 RBI. So it's the lesser of two devils at that point. And I don't really fault them for that. A hit was going to win the game either way, no matter who got the hit. And, you know, it stings too. You know, we talk about the walk-offs. We have fun with it the next day. Indians making a run of that here this year, and we talk about all that. It stings when it happens on the other end, that's for sure. And then the double whammy, we talked about this yesterday, and I knew that Ryan Rayburn's situation would have to straighten itself out, and that's part of it too. That's another thing. People talk about, well, the spark, there's one of your sparks right there. They had to put him on the disabled list because he wasn't able to get himself going. That's where the Crash Davis. See, Gunther in the chat room's got me talking about the movie. That's where the Crash Carson call-up comes from, because they caught themselves shorthanded here. Now, going to the National League, they thought they were going to be able to get Rayburn going, perhaps, but they weren't. So that flexibility a little bit congested there on the offensive side of the ball. But they still, I mean, and exactly, Gunther, good point. People bent out of shape. I can't get bent out of shape about the way they lost the last two games to the best team in baseball, Record-wise, you're playing the best team in baseball. They're mashers. These guys are the best power-hitting team in the National League, and they're right there with Detroit. And look at what we've done. We've gone out there, and one inning, you know, that second inning did both guys in, Salazar and Masterson. Masterson, by the way, that was a point that I want to bring up, too. I give Justin Masterson tons of kudos. Even though Joe Smith lost the game, that man stood there and told the media after the game, "Don't let Joe Smith fool you. I'm the reason we lost this game. I had two down in the second. I had Simmons in a good count, hung a slider. He hits a double. Then I had a chance to get the pitcher. I walk him, and Schaefer gets the hit on a sinker I threw away. Without that, we win 1-0. He owned it, though. That's what I say, and I'm not trying to, you know, bring up the whole Chris Perez conversation right now, but that's just one of the differences, not just in how the media looks at you, not just in how the fans look at you. That's the difference in how your teammates look at you, too. Your teammates are not going to bury you publicly. Nobody's going to look at me and say, J-Rock, we don't like Chris Perez because he did this or he does that. You're going to stand by your teammates no matter what. We always hear the stories that come out down the road and after the fact, you know, but don't think that those things don't play into players' minds as well. And leadership, that's what you saw out of Justin Masterson there. I'm not trying to put the dude on a pedestal. I'm just simply saying that really impressed me to stand up there and own it. But as you guys are pointing out on Facebook and in the chat room, you know, the Indians are playing good ball against good teams. And it really stinks that, once again, Detroit has done the same thing that the Indians have done. It's like they match the Indians' runs all across the season. Every time the Indians get cold, Detroit does us a favor and they cool off as well. So we don't really get big stretches between the two teams. But then every time we get hot, they get hot as well. They almost match us run for run to where when we're running, we can't gain ground. But they allow us to stay around when we're in our cold stretches as well. It's kind of a tease there. And it really was, looking at this series, I really thought we could have took two, especially the way game one was unfolding. And like, what did JK say? 21 runners left stranded in the first two games. The Indians realistically should have took both of those games. You definitely should have split the first two and looking at a chance to make it 2 out of 3 on the road against the best team in the National League. Had they done that, you'd be coming into the Detroit series, which was it would be unbelievable when you think of being 7 games back a few weeks ago. The fact that, those 3 games left against Detroit would have theoretically been enough to close the gap. You still have 3-4 weeks to go down the stretch. But you get my point of what I'm saying about that. So, lost opportunity, but at the same time, a lot of positives that you can take out of it. A lot that I take out of it, that's for sure. Looking at the way they've played these guys, this has been good playoff quality baseball. The Indians still are one of the upper offensive teams in the American League. They've been in this bad stretch for the last 6 weeks or so. You know, you can point back further than that, but they've come in and out. Some people want to take the stretches and combine them and make them one big long drought. If it's been one big long drought, they wouldn't be fifth in the American League in runs scored. They didn't score 90% of their runs in the first half of the season. You got to look at each stretch for what it is and take them and separate them. But this one here has gotten a little bit longer. It kind of, you know, look back to the beginning of the month of August, especially when the team tightened up there. That's with the Detroit series. That's when we had the Angels and the even dropped a couple, you know, that we should have won there. Remember, that's when things tightened up and people were worried about August being the same as August of last year. Last 2 weeks, they've won games that they shouldn't have won. They've gotten the ship kind of righted, but without ever really getting out of that slump that they were in at the beginning of the month. Think about that, guys. They've never really kicked out of it. So you've now got a longer stretch here that, as we said earlier, JK and I, is magnified completely, so it puts much more pressure on it. I truly feel that this offense, and I said it a few weeks ago when this run was kind of starting, they're like at the boiling point. They feel like they're just bubbling underneath, and once something gets the cork off of this, once you get, whether it's somebody from the outside, somebody from the minors, or somebody here, and they're going to uncork this offense. And I'm not saying they're going to become the 95 Indians. By uncork it, I mean they're going to take that pressure off. And some of these guys that are being buried under their own pressure will get that off of him. Whether it's Brantley, whether it's Cabrera, he is just, you can tell that every struggle he's got right now is completely inside his head. I mean, yesterday, I mean, no excuse. I will tell you, I don't do Twitter during the Indians games. I don't do a whole lot of live tweeting, but I check in on it. Yesterday, it was a priceless Twitter night for Asdrubal Cabrera during the 10-minute stretch between a strikeout and then a base-running blunder that most people blame him. But you don't blame him. Nobody else came through either. You know what I'm saying? But anyways, this team has a chance. You can come out here tonight. You can still take this game. Take one of the three. And JK said he was looking for four. I really thought five out of these next nine or, you know, that we're in the middle of right here was truly realistic. I would have been happy with that. Ubaldo going tonight. Love what he did the last time. He's been a streak stopper for the Indians. He's come out there and he's done what he's done. And he's going to be out here again. You know, Chris Medlin, that's going to be a good pitching matchup tonight as they wrap that up. And then you've got the Tigers coming down the road. Oh, you know what? Speaking of the Tribe, before I go here to the commercial break, and then I'm going to preview this Browns game when we come back. But before we go to the break, I mentioned it earlier. Indians, 1 week from tomorrow, they're home against the New York Mets. It's a fireworks night. It's a dollar dog night. And it's time to go, courtesy of the Sports Fix. We've got a pair of tickets, and we're going to give them away next week. And I'm going to tell you how to do that. We're on something unique here. You know what I'm saying, Daddy? I want to see how creative you can be. So between now and next Thursday, the way to win, and I'll talk more about this tomorrow and as we keep going throughout the week, here's how you win. I'm looking for the person who can come up with the most creative way to socially, you know, I don't know what I call it, social media. It could be outside of social media. Most creative way to promote the Sports Fix outside of the Sports Fix, somewhere in your universe, whether it's creating a meme, whether it a photograph, whether it's putting together something, whether you do something on YouTube, whether you, I don't know, go around town. There you go, Gunther. You want to get a tattoo? Then, hey, be my guest. But come up with something. I'm not going to tell you because then I'm doing your work for you. Whoever can come up with, in our estimation, the most fun and creative way to promote the Sports Fix in the next 7 days is going to win those tickets next Friday to go check out the Indians and the Mets. So get that churning through your brain now. Start thinking about that now. And let's see you get creative, get funky, and get the word out about the Sports Fix. It'll be a fun time for everybody. And I'm looking forward to seeing some of your entries. We'll talk more about that as we go. I want to hit the break. When we come back, I want to preview that Browns games wrapping thing up. But you know what? While we're talking, I see Gunther in the chat room. He's jumping up and down and going, hey, don't forget about me. Don't forget about me. Hey, check it out. William Gunther, he's been listening to the show for years, a big supporter of the show. Tomorrow, 3 p.m., he'll be at Classic Park Stadium. It's the home of the Lake County Captains. He'll be out there. It's a Facebook versus Twitter softball game with Gunther and a lot of his buddies out there. They're playing, hey, pretty cool. Captains Stadium, Classic Park, always a good place, a beautiful place to check out some baseball. And, hey, check out some softball as well. The information about that's on our Facebook page, and you can go check that out as well or look up William Gunther here and find out information. And I'm sure the Captains have information about it as well. But if you're not doing anything tomorrow, go check that out. You know what? Hey, speaking of if you're not doing anything, well, I'll tell you more about it tomorrow. But, hey, this Sunday, I'm going to be wrestling. I'll tell you about that. Some of you out there have been asking me, hey, J-Rock, when can we go see you? Go out there and put the smackdown on somebody. Well, this Sunday, I'll be doing that. I'll tell you about that tomorrow here on the west side of Cleveland. We're going to take the break. When we come back, we're going to end the show talking about the Browns, looking at the Bears game and previewing things as tonight the Browns wrap up the preseason, and then finally, tomorrow is the last day for 365 days that we have to talk about football that doesn't count. We'll be back talking the Browns when we come back live here on the Sports Fix. Get to promoting them tickets. That contest has started. Let's see how creative you can be, Daddy.
It's an addiction. The Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck, home of the low price tire guarantee. QuickLane.com/Valley Ford Truck. Football season is party season at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. And no matter who you root for, everyone wins at Harry Buffalo. Every Sunday, the Sports Fix is broadcasting live with giveaways and prizes. And joining you in watching all the Browns action with Bud Light beer specials and $10 Hair of the Dog pictures.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. That's some fun.
Plus, every Monday night, catch the Monday Night Football action with some of your favorite Browns players. Football season is most definitely party season, and your headquarters is Harry Buffalo, North Olmsted. Harry Buffalo. Buffalo. Join the herd.
Incoming transmission. You got a message.
Sports Fix listeners, don't wait all week to join in on the fun. Follow the Sports Fix on Facebook.
Follow the Sports Fix on Facebook.
They love friends. It's just a click away. Exclusive contests, trivia, tickets, and giveaways from the hottest sports show in town, The Sports Fix. Become a friend and follow The Sports Fix on Facebook today.
Message.
My name is Troy, and I used to play football in the Big Ten before too many concussions cost me my career. Today, I am teaming up with the American Academy of Neurology to ask all coaches, athletes, and parents to learn the signs of concussion and know when a player must leave the game. The American Academy of Neurology has new tools, including free online safety courses and coaches and players' cards, to teach you the signs of concussion and what to do if an athlete gets a head injury during a game.
Learn more at aan.com/concussion.
Hi, Monsters fans. This is Cameron Gaunce from Cleveland's Lake Erie Monsters, and you're listening to The Sports Fix.
Welcome in, my friends. J-Rock with you, wrapping things up. Been a hell of a show. Thank you so much for being with us, and we're going to wrap things up here talking a little Cleveland Browns football, and people have been hitting me up here throughout the break. Yes, that contest has already started. Feel free. You can do whatever you want. If you really, if you want to go see the Mets and the Indians that bad, feel free. Go get a tattoo. You can put it, you know what, shave your head if you got hair. You can put my beautiful bald head right on top of your beautiful bald head if you want. Whatever you do, come up with something creative. Hey, listen, I mean, you can do whatever you want. If you're in Philly, you want to come down and watch the game, go to the Rocky statue, stand up on there and record a video of you saying, I listen to the Sports Fix every day at noon. Ew, Rocky, we did it. That counts. Do whatever you got to do. However you can come up with to creatively promote the show, somebody is going to win tickets next Friday to go check out the Indians and the Mets. Speaking of Cleveland sports, the Browns, as I said, wrapping things up, and it cannot come fast enough. You know what? I'm not even going to put up the world's biggest argument about who's playing and who's not tonight, because I'm so tired of just using the word preseason that I'll be so happy when this thing is over. And I think that's the point, perhaps, that the Browns have reached as well. They don't want to lose anybody else. I really do believe that week two, obviously, you know, put a little bit of a scare into them, as it should have. Although, starting along those lines, let's talk a little bit about the injuries. Barkavius Mingo, hey, he's slowly starting to recover. He's hit the weight room now. He's beginning. They're saying absolutely no way. He's definitely ruled out for week one, but it's looking like week two is looking like the target week here, perhaps, if all things continue, that we may be able to see the regular season debut of Barkavius Mingo there. As we talked about the different cuts this week of people that have lost spots, and a few people have been brought in to compete. They've got a couple of linebackers they're going to throw in the mix there. The punter, Colton Schmidt, that they picked up from the 49ers, those guys going to get a shot. But the big story from Coach Judd is none of the starters, well, the majority of the starters, not going to play. Josh Gordon is going to play, which he has to, because he's not going to play for the first 2 weeks of the season. This is his very last opportunity to get in there and get some reps and get some game action. So it's going to be, and you know what? It's going to be crucial. I don't think a lot of people have talked about this for the next 2.5 weeks. Well, the first 2 weeks of the season and the next 10 days, the Browns better keep good tabs on Josh Gordon. Not only keep good tabs on him, but I would make sure that Josh Gordon has plenty to keep himself occupied and keep himself out of trouble. Because as we've seen, and I'm not going to go talking about things that we've already talked about, speeding tickets and all of that are issues still floating in the air. The reason that he's suspended is still floating in the air. The last thing you want is for this guy to go out there
during the time that he's away, when the cat's away, the mice will play. You want to make sure that that doesn't happen, because the last thing you need is to worsen anything when it comes to Josh Gordon. You need him to stay clear, focused, come back from this, hopefully contrite and ready to contribute to the Brown season beginning in week 3. But he's going to be out there playing. Jason Campbell, a lot of people have wanted to see Jason Campbell, see what he can do. They're going to get a chance to see a lot more of Jason Campbell, because tonight he's going to take the starting reps, and I expect nothing but a good game out of him, because he's a starting level NFL quarterback playing in the 4th preseason game against a lot of guys that he's better than. So I think the offense will look good behind Campbell. If it doesn't, then that's a whole nother argument in and of itself. You're not going to see much of anything in the way of creativity or play calling, and it'll let you know at least if, he'll be ready to step in if need be. I will say, and I said it earlier, I'm going to repeat my point about Brandon Whedon. I don't want to see the guy hurt. I don't want to see a guy who's fighting for the 53rd spot on a roster, a guy who's fighting for a practice squad roster spot. I don't want to see Brandon Whedon get hurt and it hurts us going forward. But at the same time, I just think, I'll tell you what, you could have taught Brandon Whedon, in my mind, you could have taught him a hell of a lesson by doing exactly what you said yesterday, but sending him out there for one series. The embarrassment alone of being publicly put in the public spotlight, of the rest of your starting teammates are being given the night off, but you need to go out there again. To me, if you're an athlete worth your salt, especially a young athlete who's still proving himself, that right there burns your ass. Your coach did that. That makes you go out there, but it also teaches you a lesson. Yes, you are a group, but you're also a bunch of individuals. Now, I am no interest in seeing a all-pro caliber veteran like Joe Thomas out there playing. Those guys have, as we said, deserved the right to kick their feet up, drink some umbrella drinks with Mike Holmgren, and watch a little bit of preseason football. But Brandon Whedon should have been put out there, if for nothing else than for the first series or two of the game, just to show him a point and also to get him going. But I'll toss back to what Jonathan Knight said earlier as well. At the same time, how much does that really matter? We'll find out. We're going to find out 10 days from now. And if he goes out there and throws another egg and a half like he did last year against Philadelphia, then everybody will be saying, "I told you so." And if he goes out there and he plays well against Miami, then everybody will be saying, "See, that didn't really matter." I guess we're going to find out. Other starters playing tonight: Billy Winn going to get some time, Quentin Groves, Travis Benjamin, guys that are going to be needed to play key positions, O'Neal Cousins as well. Those guys are going to get some extended work with the starters, because they need to go out there and make sure that they can fill these roles. Think about the spots that they're playing there. Quentin Groves is going to get a lot more playing time than even previously anticipated because of the loss of Mingo there. And and then you've got the other situation as well. Travis Benjamin for Josh Gordon on my previous point. And the other situation of the guys fighting for those last roster spots, trying to stay on. Guys like James Michael Johnson. I mean, he was a highly regarded pick last year. They had a lot of hope for him, and that's a guy who this year is fighting for a spot on the roster, so he's going to be a guy. Several other guys. Armani Bryant, there's a late draft pick. Just because the Browns drafted you this year doesn't give you any guarantee that you're even going to make the team out of training camp. Armani Bryant, he's another one there, especially with the depth that we've got along the defensive line. So Brad Smelly too. He's got all the opportunity in the world to make this team with Marisic gone and with the running back situation the way it is, but we'll see about that. All of those guys, it's not only for the Browns, but it's their last chance to go out there and put it on tape for the other teams as well. Their last chance to get a reel, to get themselves going, whether they stay on Cleveland with the cutdowns this Saturday or whether they get picked up by somebody else. I'll tell you what, too, I saw a stat yesterday, pretty funny. In the first round of all the cuts around the NFL, there were only 8 players that were cut that were picked up by other teams. The Browns picked up 3. That was the most of any team that had picked up from all the other players. All right, guys, we're going to hit the break. When we come back, wait a minute, the show's over. My man in the chat room said, "Keep the show going." And I was like, "Okay, wait a minute. No, I'm not. I'm going." It's been a hell of a show, guys. Thank you so much for being with us. BJ Riddell. See, I'm ready to rock and roll. When I get going, I don't want the show to end. The party really doesn't stop when we go off the air. It keeps going. Actually, I turn the mic off, and I just keep talking for like another 3 hours. Just nobody knows it. Anyways, thank you to everybody for joining us today. Hell of a show. Tomorrow, Ryan Ruiz from The Inscriber, Jeff Gorman from Browns101.com will be breaking down, thank God, the final preseason game. Last time we'll be using that term here on the Sports Fix. Going to talk about the Indians, how they wrapped up the Braves, and we're going to preview that series with the Detroit Tigers coming up, a big one there. Ed Doherty joins us to preview Friday Night Lights as high school football starts. All of that, all the usual suspects, and so much more. Plus, remember, the contest has begun. Whoever can come up with the most creative way to promote the Sports Fix across the internet, social media, and beyond, you're going to win next week's tickets to the Indians and the Mets, so get to promoting, Daddy. Bzz, tattoo parlors across the country. They can do the logo. Anyways, do what you got to do. We're going to do what we do tonight. Watch some Indians, watch some Tribe. Talk to you about it tomorrow. Live, same bat time, same bat channel, right here on the Sports Fix. We love you, Cleveland. We'll see you tomorrow.